BBC News.
And now on Radio 4, it's time for the final part of our classic serial, a new adaptation of the 1954 novel which became one of the greatest Western movies of all time, The Searchers by Alan LeMay, adapted for radio by Adrian Beam.
I told you, there are only three things that have the power to get right under my skin. The first is that blood-red nightmare, which I've had from a child, since the night the Comanches attacked and killed my entire family.
No.
Martin.
No.
Martin.
No.
Wake up.
No! What?
Get up. We better keep moving.
The second thing that could turn my blood cold, which I judged to be a pure insanity, was what I called the death tree. Every so often it'd come up to surprise me. Some withered, blackened old tree stump with a crazy branch twisting out like a bony hand, reaching out to tell me something or warn me. It was the spring of 1851, 3 years since our search for Debbie began. As Amos and I rode northwest towards Lost Mule Creek, the third thing was really starting to get under my skin. Now, I had no fear of Indians themselves, but if I come upon a place where Indians had camped or caught scent of one, the same kind of panic could take hold of me as I felt in that dream and when I saw the death tree. And it was that peculiar, distinctive smell, the faintly musky old leather and fur smell of Indians, that hit me as soon as we opened the door of Jeremiah Futterman's trading post.
Futterman? You in here?
Through a thick cloud of smoke, I saw three squaws hunkered down round a stove. They looked up at us with empty eyes, and I guessed that they was for sale, just like the cowhides and whiskey that were Jeremiah Futterman's stock in trade.
Gentlemen, what can I do you for?
Name's Amos Edwards. You wrote me a letter?
You're gonna have to remind me.
About a girl's dress you got.
Oh, yeah, the reward.
Where's the dress?
Have a drink first.
We ain't thirsty. We come to find out about Debbie.
Pretty name. You got the money?
I'll pay when the child is found.
All right. This what you're looking for?
It's Debbie's dress, all right.
Ain't no blood on it. I looked.
Where'd you get it?
I paid $20 for this here. Man's got a right to expect payment for information.
There's $40. Now talk.
A young Comanche brought it in. Now, he said it belonged off of a white girl.
Is she alive?
He said so. Claimed she was catched by Chief Scar.
Now you take care, Jerem. I ain't never heard of no Chief Scar.
He's supposed to be a war chief with the Nyack Comanche.
Any Comanche warrior with a few scalps on his lands calls himself a war chief. Now you keep talking.
Said Scar was heading north. He was supposed to cross the Red River and winter in at Fort Sill. But maybe he lied.
And maybe you lie.
In that case, you won't find her, will you? And I won't get the reward.
You sure as hell won't.
Come on, Mark.
You can stay for tonight if you want. $2 for the room. Take your pick of them squares for another dollar.
You can have all three for a dollar ticket.
That weren't much use, Amos. We don't even know if she's alive.
We got her dress and the story fits. We're heading for Fort Sill.
But that's hundreds of miles north. And it was 2 summers ago. This Chief Scar could be anywhere by now.
It's a trail. We'll find him.
Hey! I want my money!
Down, Mark!
You hear me?
Not anymore.
Is he dead? Is he dead?
He ain't moving.
Jeez, Amos. You didn't have to kill him.
He asked for it. And you could shut your wailing!
What are you doing?
He don't need my 40 bucks no more, do he?
When the white man spread west across America, he and the Indian came face to face and traded blows over who owned the land. The Indian said no one owned it, didn't even seem to understand the meaning of the word. But that didn't stop the killing getting worse on both sides. In the end, the government came up with a peace deal that allowed the Indians to hunt buffalo over the plains in the summer like they'd always done, so long as they kept to the reservations. In the winter, the Indians would gather around the forts, grateful for the food and protection the army offered. And so that winter, as the wild tribes felt the pinch of the starving moons, thousands upon thousands of Comanches made for the sanctuary and government rations of Fort Sill. This was where we hoped to find Chief Scar.
There's the boy. He's a boy. Any luck?
Yeah, it looks like Scar camped here for the winter.
Right.
But he upped and off as soon as the snow started to melt. Seems Scar runs with a bunch of Nayeki Comanches called the Wolf Brothers. A peace chief named a Blue Bonnet leads them. Shit. I got the idea Scar's headed for the peace breaks.
Which way's that?
Don't matter. We ain't going there.
Why not?
Ain't any kind of Comanche moves around as shifty as the Nayeki. One of the names the other Indians have for them means them as never gets where they're going. Truth is, they like to lie about where they're going. Start that way, then double back.
Why's that?
Just habit. No reason. Anyway, we ain't looking for Scar in Indian territory. We'll look in Texas.
But that's where we come from.
Yep.
And so we set out through the rains and muck of our fourth spring searching for Debbie. And yet we crossed the long prairies for many weeks without seeing an Indian of any kind. Searching the empty plains, it was easy to understand that the space itself was the Comanche's fortress. He seemed to live out his life immune to discovery, invisible beyond the rim of the world, as if he could disappear at will into the spirit land he knew was lying beyond the sunset. Then, as spring turned to summer, our luck changed, and for a while we found a Comanche village around every bend of every creek.
That way, I see. Doing on.
Far from hostile and suspicious, they were welcoming, keen to trade and to talk. Problem was, I didn't speak Comanche.
Leave the talking to me, Mart. And keep your gun hand free.
And so I ran into a little trouble when I tried to buy a fox cape this girl was wearing.
That one.
Interesting.
What the devil you gawking at, Amos? You see something green?
Kind of branching out, ain't you?
Want to get me a good hunk of fur, that's all.
Guess that's one way of describing it.
By the time the deal was closed and we was ready to ride, the girl was clinging on to the fox cape and carrying a bag packed to bulging. I told her to go home, but she just stood there.
I come with you?
Look, I said go home.
What the hell you doing, Mark?
I'm sending her home. Can't leave her tag along with us.
Well, what did you buy her for if you didn't want her?
Buy her?
Oh, you goddamn chunkhead. Now you see why I didn't want to bring you along.
This is a mistake. She's got to go back.
She sure as hell is not going back.
Well, look at her. She's scared stiff.
Those bastards would snatch off our hair before sundown, you insult them like that. There you go, little lady.
Thank you.
Oh, I don't believe this. Now, smile nice to your new wife and let's get some distance between us and your in-laws.
I paid no attention to her as we rode, but when we camped by starlight, she was still there.
Coffee?
Coffee?
Huh. She's bright. Me. Amos.
Amos.
Him. Husband.
Husband.
Shut up, Amos. Look.
Husband.
Look. Me no husband. Me Mart. Okay?
Nanima ana look. Otisana nanya akitsi look.
What?
She said you call her Look. That's her name now. Look.
Oh, look, I never...
Yes, look.
Oh, hell.
Tom came to turn in, and Amos rolled into his blankets, but showed no sign of dozing. He lay there, bright-eyed as a bird, enjoying my embarrassment.
Night, Mark.
Night.
Nema.
No. No, you sleep over there.
Nema.
My power medicine, all mixed up with taboo. So I must sleep alone for many months. Understand?
Nema.
I'd say she's mighty relieved.
But once I'd gotten over the shock of being married to her, I got to kind of like my new wife.
Okwetapa.
Okwetapa.
Good.
River?
River.
Hmm.
Pa.
Pa.
Yes.
Water?
Water. Hivi.
Hivi. Drink.
Yes. You speak good Comanche, man.
Oh, thanks.
Soti tatsanupi unahi pet supernai. Sama sama namana is a ben school ota tutsuta.
It's too fast, look. What'd you say?
She said there are so many stars in the sky, it'd take a man all his life to count them.
Yes.
Guess so.
I get water.
Sometimes I feel like it's gonna take all my life to find Debbie. But I wouldn't mind, just so long as we do. That's all I care about.
Yeah.
When do you think we'll find her?
Tomorrow.
Hey, where are you going?
Amos followed Luke's tracks down to the river.
She's gone.
Gone?
From these tracks, I'd say a single engine crossed through the shallows when they made off together on his pony. Or lover, I guess. Got you off the hook, though.
Yeah. Guess so.
Understanding the Comanches better, we began to pick up news of what was happening on the frontier. We learned that Blue Bonnet's village was once more heading for Fort Sill and was only
2 sleeps ahead, 24 lodges, 600 horses, and 50 battle-rated cuts attack of Comanche warriors. The Upriver Band, Peace Chief Blue Bonnet, War Chief Stone Wolf, Pacing Bear, and Scar.
Scar. Hmm.
He thought they had some white captives, too. A woman, maybe 2, and some children. Maybe a little girl.
Debbie?
Could be. We'll soon know.
When, though?
Tomorrow! Yeah.
Tomorrow. It's always tomorrow. Come on!
We rode all night. And sure enough, the next day, we picked up the trail of the Comanche village.
Weather's looking ugly.
Keep going. Look at the trail!
It's turned sudden!
Yeah! Like it's been broken square in two by the wind!
Why'd they change direction? They onto us, you think?
What they got to fear from us?
They know something, that's for damn sure!
A couple of hours later, we had our answer.
They seen it coming! That's why they turned! They run for the Wichita Breaks!
We'll never make it by dark! We got a whole lot sooner than that!
It was not yet 4 o'clock, but a blackness deeper than any natural night seemed to be lowering from above, pressing down to blot out the prairie. Now came the first of the snow. A thin lacing of ice needles drove deep into cloth and blinded us and our horses.
Amos!
The drop wasn't much, a gully no more than 12 feet deep, but neither Amos nor his horse saw it before they fell.
Amos! You hurt?
Help get this horse off me, will you? I'm okay, I guess.
She's broke a leg.
Too bad. Stand back.
Looks like we found our shelter anyway.
Better get your horse tied down first, or we're finished.
Next morning, it was barely lighter than the night. The snow began to fill the gully, but we managed to make a bivouac with some cloth. And as the snow covered us, we had a place in which a fire could burn at last.
You think this storm's ever gonna blow itself out?
Been known to last a week. Storms like this.
You're a regular prophet of doom, Amos.
I tell it like it is. We're finished. Our bodies will never be found, of course. Come thaw, the crows will pick our bones clean.
Shut up.
Amos was saying these things to get my blood up, to keep me alive. But by the third night, he was taking it bad, too.
Come on, Amos. Don't go to sleep. How are we gonna find Debbie if you end up dead, huh?
This nightmare had gone on forever. And so finally, I lay down, accepting that it would always go on. Until death brought the only possible peace.
The sun will pour life on the earth forever. I rode my horse till it died. The earth will send up new grass forever.
It was a Comanche death song. The members of the Snow Wolf Brotherhood were supposed to sing it as they died.
Forever, I rode my horse till it died.
Damn it! Stop that!
No ear for music, huh?
Amos. Listen. My God.
From horizon to horizon, nothing on the white earth moved.
I told you we'd make it. Didn't I?
But come the spring, Blue Bonnet had still not come into Fort Sill. So we bought new horses, replenished our packs, and once more went searching for Indians, who forever marched and shuffled themselves in the far lost wastes of their range.
Amos! Amos, wake up!
What's the matter?
I swear, I heard fighting a long way off.
Oh, you're dreaming. Go back to sleep.
Shh! Listen! You hear that? I'm sure I heard something.
You hear something in a minute. A fist hitting your head. Now go back to sleep.
Snowing again. How are we gonna find Blue Bonnet and all this?
Snow can't hide him from us now. It'll only pin him down. We'll find Blue Bonnet today, mark my words.
Today?
What?
You said today.
Of course I said today. What kind of a fool thing is that?
By mid-morning, we reached the Canadian River and forded its unfrozen shallows. We turned downstream and at noon found what we'd been looking for all these years. Blue Bonnet's village. Or the place it had seen its last of Earth. We came upon the dead horses first. In a great bend of the river lay nearly 100 head of buffalo ponies, their lips drawn back from their long teeth as they froze under a covering of snow.
They've all been shot. Why?
Cavalry learned long ago that he couldn't hold Comanche ponies. Too wild.
Told you I heard a bugle.
No bodies. You think the Comanches got away?
Soldiers must have left the survivors time enough to come back and bury their dead.
But we don't know how many were killed.
No. You see that smoke upriver?
Yep.
That's where we'll get some answers. Come on.
So you're hunting captives, are you?
Yes, Colonel.
Let's see if we've got any here, you know. We got some bodies in the wagon. You might be lucky. Okay.
Couple of children in there, Amos.
I know. Man. Couple of women. Both shot in the back of the head.
Yeah. Children?
Both got their skulls cracked.
Boys?
Yes. Is that good?
Yeah. Thanks.
Right. It's too bad there wasn't more of them. We killed 38 hostiles with the loss of only 2 men. Ratio 19 to 1. Not a bad little victory, that.
It'll look good in your report, I guess.
The only problem is we don't know what Comanches we defeated.
What you had there was Chief Blue Bonnet's village. We've been following him for months, looking for my niece.
Look, we also recovered some personal items from the Indian camp. You're welcome to examine them.
Thanks.
Trinkets, bracelets... Indian junk, mostly.
It might have been junk to the colonel, But to us, it was a pile of possible clues.
Oh, no.
What is it?
Debbie's locket.
Let me see. Debbie from M.
Yeah, I gave it to her the Christmas. She was a 3, I guess. It was only a cheap thing, but... Give her a green spot on her neck when she wore it.
Where was this found?
This was taken from the body of an old squaw found in the river.
An old woman?
We didn't set out to kill women and children.
But you did, anyway.
She was here, Amos. Debbie was in this camp.
We'll be gone now.
Sir? The locket.
What?
I'm sorry, I have to take that.
But I gave it to Debbie.
But then it doesn't belong to you, sir. Needs to be tagged and recorded as evidence of resolved child stealing.
Resolved? Well, you haven't found her yet.
It's paperwork. It'll help justify our actions here.
We set out to find the surviving Comanches, but it was hopeless. Finally, after weeks of fruitless searching, Amos said what we'd both been thinking.
Time to go home.
So we headed southwest.
You remember this creek, Mark?
Should I?
Used to call it the Bean Blossom. This stream ran all year. It had a fast ripple on it, never froze. That's why your father built his house here.
My father?
That chimney. Seem familiar?
Well, this is... I used to live here?
Yep.
I was only 2 years old when the Comanches come. I don't remember any of it.
You want me to show you where your folks is buried?
There's nothing here.
Your father was against markers on graves. Didn't want Injuns digging folks up. But this is where your mother lies. She was a beautiful girl. Real thin, but real pretty. Brown eyes like yours. But her hair, red-brown and a lot of it, with a shine like a kind of gold when the light struck through it, right? I never seen no prettier hair. And this here's Ethan, your father. You favor him a lot. Had a dark Welsh streak in him. That's where you got your dark look and them eyes. That's why folks often mistake you for a half-breed, I guess.
Could you show me where I was when Pa found me in the brush?
Your Pa?
Well, I mean, your brother Henry. I heard tell he found me and picked me up.
Over there. Come on. Of course, brush was cleared right back. Yeah, I'm sure now, right exactly here.
Strange to think. 20 years. I was knee-high and hiding in this brush. Well, just over there, my folks was...
What are you doing?
I'm getting down there again, seeing what I would have seen. Oh, my God.
What?
I see it now.
See what?
The death tree.
Its base was almost on level with my eyes, perhaps 100 feet away. And for one brief moment, It seemed to swell and tower, rather than its corpse withered arms. My eyes fixed on it as I got up and walked towards it.
Mark!
The thing shrunk as I approached, no longer towering over me twice my size. Now, it was just a piece of weather-silvered wood. A dead stump.
I'll be a son of a bitch.
Well, it's good to see you boys back. It must be 5 years.
It's getting on 6 years now, Aaron.
6 years?
Yeah, don't really count the years when you're in the saddle. Just keep counting the ridge you're coming up to, and then the next one.
Yeah. Oh, pass me more bread, Lore.
Of course. You're welcome.
And in all that time, these found no sign of Debbie?
Found a locket, didn't we?
Yeah.
How did you find it?
It was on a dead end.
Yeah, don't matter. Didn't mean nothing.
Your fork, Martin.
Oh, sorry. You'd be surprised. We spend more time with Comanches than with white men these days.
You almost look like an Indian now. Smell like one, too.
Lori!
I'll heat up some water for a bath.
Hello, Lore. How you doing?
All right.
Smell better now. First bath in months. Well, me and Amos must have seemed uncivilized.
Some of the savages bound to rub off on you.
Last night.
I guess.
It would take a man all his life to count the stars.
What?
That's just something someone told me.
Suppose you'll be going right out again in the morning. Mark?
I think Debbie's dead. I think now she was dead from the first week we rode.
Then why do you keep searching?
I don't know if I could live with myself if I gave up. You know what that means, don't you?
Not really.
Well, if it was you who was kidnapped, you'd want me to come after you, wouldn't you?
I'd want you to come home, too, if it was a waste of time.
You want me to come back, then?
You think I'm going to wait any longer, Marty?
Lori.
Please. Don't. They're calling us in. Something's up.
Come on, tell it. You what I saw out there.
I know.
All right.
Over here.
Lodge Powers. What's he doing here?
Don't know. Turned up 10 minutes ago. Prickly fell off his horse.
Been drinking, I suppose.
Yeah, drunker than a spinner wolf.
I ain't drunk, I'm telling you.
Well, you're doing a pretty good impression of it, Lodge.
That's because I'm excited. Don't you?
I hadn't seen nor heard of Lodge Powers since he rode off in those early days of the search.
Here we go, Powers.
Now here he was, practically foaming at the mouth.
Come on, Powers. We must tell.
I found her. I found Debbie Edwards.
What?
Oh, he's out of his head. I got the fever. But I'm no more out of my mind than you, Aaron Matheson, or you, Amos. I talked to her. She spoke her name. I seen her as close as from here to you.
Where?
She's with a chief named Yellowbuckle.
I never heard of him.
Listening to me. Listen, you know the seven fingers?
Seven fingers?
We should let him rest.
I'm telling you what I seen.
Ain't that a bunch of creeks west of the Wichita Mountains? They run into the North Fork of the Red, I think. Lige, ain't seven fingers the Kiowa name for them little rivers?
That's what I've been trying to tell you. And that's where I seen Debbie. What else? Come on, Nights, what else? My yellow buckle squaws is feeding us some, I don't know, god-awful stewed gut tribe. Anyway, this squaw bends down and whispers in my ear, I'm Debbie Edwards.
Oh. Did you get a look at her?
I snuck.
like look over my shoulder, and her head was covered, but I seen these green eyes.
Lord. Who is Yellow Buckle?
I don't know.
What? Lodge.
I think the poor man's had enough.
Did he go by any other name?
No.
Thanks!
Hey, Monsieur. Please.
Easy now.
Now, did he go by any other name?
I think, yeah. Yeah. Cutface.
Scar. Amos, he's telling the truth. You eat up, girl. You're gonna need it.
Lori, what do you want?
If you find Debbie.
We will find her. You heard Lige. She's been with Scar all along.
Okay. When you find her, what will you do?
If she's alive, I'll bring her home.
Bring what home?
What do you mean?
Debbie's been gone nearly 6 years. She's 16, Mart. She's had time to be with half the Comanche Bucks in creation by now.
You hold your tongue.
She's probably got brats of her own now, most like. You gonna bring them home, too?
Well,
you won't. Because she won't let you. She'll kill herself before she'll even look you in the face. If you knew anything at all about a woman, you'd know that much.
Don't you dare say...
Go on. Hit me. It won't make it any less true. You know what Amos will do if he finds her? He'll put a bullet in her brain, and I wouldn't blame him. Nor would anybody else in this house.
Maybe he will, but only if I'm dead.
Grow up, Marty.
I'm going.
You ain't going nowhere.
Charlie!
Oh, what you want?
Talk to you and Amos about a matter involving the robbery and murder of Walker Finch, alias Jeremiah Futterman.
Never heard of him.
Three squaws up at his trading post say Amos shot him dead. It's my job to take you both to Austin.
Look, Charlie...
Sergeant McCory now, Mart. You think you can just kill a man and the Rangers won't come after you?
You can't take us in now.
Ain't no can't about it. Don't have no choice, Mart.
Amos!
Sorry, son.
You killed Charlie!
I ain't killed him. He's got a skull thicker than old Aaron's Bible. Come on, Mart. We can't hang around.
Know the country around the Seven Fingers as well as we thought we did. We hoped to find an Indian or two as we drew near to help guide us to Yellow Buckle's camp. But General Sherman's long-awaited campaign had cleared the prairies. But then, we crossed the Walking Wolf Ridge to the Elkhorn.
This must be the place, Lige meant.
Country and time were running out fast. We had a murder charge against us, and Amos had nearly brained Charlie McCory. No question whether we wanted to quit this long search. The search was quitting us. One way or another, it would end here, and this time, forever.
Oh. Look, down there by the river.
Cavalry. Must be hundreds of them.
And Texas Rangers. Must be getting on for 50 of them. Quite a party.
I ain't never heard of Rangers and cavalry working together before. Not in Indian territory anyway.
The last Fort Sill sent out a patrol to chase the Rangers back.
You reckon they're on the trail of Yellow Buck?
How should I know? You want to ask them?
Guess not.
Come on then. Yeah.
Amos, I ask you a favor.
Ask away.
When we find Yellow Buck's village, I want to go in there alone.
Oh. Look, we find that village, I'm going in. You ain't stopping me.
I will, Amos. For Debbie.
You know what that'll take?
I do. I thought about it, and I'll do it.
Well... Seeing as how we're talking all serious now, you better have this. Here, read it.
Now know all man. I, Amos Edwards, being a sound mind...
Maybe not.
And without any known blood kin,
do will that upon my death, all I own shall go to my foster nephew, Martin Pauley. Signed, Amos Edwards.
Witnessed by Laurie Mathis.
I can read that!
Amos fixed me. This act of kindness, with living witnesses to it, could be my damnation if I had to turn against him.
This don't change anything. I'll do what I have to do.
I know.
Come on. Amos? Amos? Damn!
I should have known he wouldn't wait around for me. I found him crouched by a tree at the top of the ridge, looking down into the valley.
Thought you'd leave me, huh?
Shh.
What is it?
I said hush.
The night before, when we set up camp, the valley below had been empty. Now, something over 60 lodges and hundreds of Indians filled the valley floor.
Yellow Buckles village.
You think?
It has to be.
So what do we do?
Only one thing we can do.
Before we entered the village, a party of Comanche warriors surrounded us, riding bareback, their weapons in their hands.
Seem kind of spooked, don't they?
What do you expect when they know General Sherman's on the warpath? I'd say that big fella standing outside the teepee is our man. Whoa.
Ain't he supposed to invite us to dismount?
Yeah, he should. But he ain't. Makes you feel kinda unwelcome, don't it?
I could feel my spine tingle when Amos jumped down and strode up to the chief.
Chief Yellow Buckle, Kimai no de Kwadoye.
The chief just stared at Amos, and in that instant I noticed two things about him. The first was a gold brooch, shaped in the form of a bow, hanging on a chain on his chest, no doubt the trophy that gave him his name. The second was a thin, livid line running from his left eye to his jaw. Yellow Buckle and Scar were one and the same.
One say bull shoulders. Do not put say the other on the my.
Chief Yellow Buckle, Naru Mu Hino.
Sitting respectfully behind Scar, with their heads bowed, sat three women. One of them lifted her head a little, and in the pale light, I saw two eyes looking at me. They stared as a cat stares, cold, hard, and green as glass. Debbie.
Did you see her?
Try not to look excited or they'll kill you.
She's alive. Can you believe it? We found her.
Better start figuring out how to stay alive yourself, or finding her won't do much good.
But why did Scar let us see her?
He wanted us to see her. He's finally learned there's such a thing as a critter that never quits. Now he's gotta kill us.
Then why'd he let us ride out?
I told Scar we're selling rifles. He's gonna meet us in the morning up by the creek. Maybe he wants to get our guns before he kills us.
We're heading back to the village.
Good. Soon as we're clear, we'll ride on and find the cavalry camp.
But wait. If we lead the army on them and the rangers, there'll be a massacre. Amos, this village will be wiped out.
Yeah, guess so.
You bastard, Amos. You bastard!
Wait, someone's here.
Debbie!
Oh, thank God!
Stay back.
Put that knife away, Debbie. It's me, Mark. You remember me?
You must go away. Back to your land.
We've been searching for you all this time. 6 years, Debbie. Think about nothing but taking you home.
This is my home.
Debbie, these people murdered our family.
You lie. All white men lie. You, Long Knife. You came in the night, started killing us by the river.
Dead Horse Bend.
Now you know what we gotta do, Mart.
You remember the locket I gave you, Debbie?
Locket?
Small. Silver. On a chain.
I remember.
I gave that to you when you were this big.
Step aside, Mart.
For a long time, I cried to you. But you didn't come.
I'm here now. Amos, what the hell are you doing?
Shooting at the Indian, taking aim at us behind her.
What?
Get down!
Debbie, come back!
Down, I said! You got him?
I think so. Debbie! Debbie, where are you? Let me look at your leg. Looks bad.
I'll live. Where is she?
She's gone. I gotta get you to the troopers. They'll have a doctor. Come on.
How's your friend, Mr. Pauly?
Your doctor says he'll be fine so long as he rests his leg.
And you say Yellow Buckle's camp is about 20 miles northwest of here?
Yeah.
How many warriors?
Somewhere between 150, 200 warriors, I guess. But
well, well, Martin Pauly. Fancy meeting you here.
You know this man, Captain Clinton?
Oh, the Texas Rangers? We've been looking for him for quite some time.
And his friend, Amos Edwards.
Charlie.
They're wanted on a murder charge. Oh, and my head's fine. Thanks for asking.
I'm sorry, Charlie.
No. I got more important work for you. You are going to lead me and my Rangers to Yellow Buckle's camp.
What for?
I'm sick and tired of Comanche war parties murdering the bejesus out of Texan families, then skedaddling to hide behind your yellow legs. What are you fellas running up here? A damned wild Indian sanctuary?
It's called a peace policy. The government
The government can kiss my ass. I answer for the people of Texas.
You know you've got me, Captain. More than half my men are out on patrol, but when they get back,
oh, we'll be long gone. If this here young fella will lead us to him.
I will.
Good. We ride before sunset.
You don't know what you're talking about.
I know exactly.
Mark, I got some news for you.
Yeah?
Me and Lori, we got married. Did you hear me? I said that.
I heard. Good for you. You got yourself a great girl, really.
Are you okay, Mark?
It ain't Debbie no more. Almost seems like she's ninja herself now, inside. I never used to understand why the Comanches murder our women and brain our children. But so we won't breed. They want us off this earth. I understand that now. Because it's what I want for them. I want them dead. I want them cleaned off the face of the world.
I led Captain Clinton's Rangers to the ridge, and as the first fingers of gray light poked out across the valley, we saw the village in clear detail, barely a mile away.
Take a look at that.
Half the lodges are down.
People swarming everywhere.
Oh yeah, they're packing to move. But we want to clear them out before the Yellow Legs catch up. We'd better get going. This is what you've been waiting for, boys. A chance to pay back them Red Devils for all the Texans they tortured, raped, and scalped. And I will personally pay a dollar for every scalp I see! Yeah!
It was my first mounted close action, and all I saw of it was hell coming at me from all directions. Abruptly, as I was in the thick of it, I was popped out like a seed. Colonel Hannon's troopers, charging like all hellfire, sabers glittering in the morning light, and in so tight a line the horses might have been lashed together. They'd come to stop the Rangers, but the Indians weren't to know. Then I saw Amos. He looked like a dead man riding, his face ash bloodless, but with a fever craze burning in his eyes. He swept past, marking his path with Comanche dead. Then I saw what Amos had seen.
Debbie!
Running like a deer, dodging among the horses, she might have got away, but she stopped to snatch up a dead man's pistol. Amos charged towards her.
Amos, no!
Then a strange thing happened. He reached his shooting hand out to the running girl.
Debbie, here, come with me.
But when the girl turned, I saw not Debbie, but the broad face of a young Comanche woman. Her teeth showed in fear as she fired upward at Amos.
One off, old Amos.
Charlie.
I'll never see the likes of him again.
Well, I guess not.
We didn't have to bury him here.
I think he'd want to lie here.
Only a handful of squaws been taken prisoner, and we asked him, but no one seen hide nor hair of Debbie. Face it, Mart. You ain't never gonna find her.
Amos's weren't the only grave I dug that day. Searching among the bodies for Debbie, I found my wife. Look.
So you found your people again? What have I done? What have I done?
Comanches believe the mutilated, whether in mind or body, never enter the land beyond the sunset, but wander forever in an emptiness between the winds. They seem to place this emptiness in the northwest. So, I figured Debbie, thinking like an Indian, might choose to head that way if she was trying to leave the world of the living behind her. Towards the end of that first day, I saw vultures circling, no more than specks in the sky over a range of hills many hours ahead.
Whatever they're watching, still moving, still alive. Come on, girl.
And so I found her.
Debbie!
You okay? Here. Yeah? That's better. It's me, Mark.
I'm cold.
Well, in this heat? Here.
As I held her close to my body, I smelt that familiar, musky old leather and fur Indian smell. Then I realized it was my own smell. The smell of a man who for the past 6 years had lived the same kind of life she had.
I'm taking you back, Debbie.
Back where?
Home. To her own people.
I have no people. I have no home.
Me too. But there's the ranch. It belongs to you now.
It's empty. Dead.
We'll be there, Debbie. You and me. We'll start again. Let's go home.
Part 2 of The Searchers by Alan LeMay was adapted for radio by Adrian Bean. Mark Pawley was played by Simon Lee Phillips, Amos Edwards by William Hope, Aaron Matheson and Captain Clinton by Kerry Shale, Laurie Matheson by Kazrina James, Luke and Debbie Edwards by Fiona Maher, Charlie McCorry by PJ Brennan, Jeremiah Futterman and Lige Powers by Alan Raglan, Colonel Hanlon by John Cording and Mrs. Matheson by Marilyn LeConte. It was a BBC Cymru Wales production, directed by James Robinson. And Mark Berman investigates the story behind the novel with In Search of the Real Searchers, which is available now on the Radio 4 website.
It worked.
Merlin?
Yes.
Is it really you?
I think so.
David Warner stars in T.H. White's classic take on the King Arthur myth.
Without going into what might happen when newfangled theories about time and relativity collide with old-fashioned necromancy, let's just say that I'm here for a few hours.
I'd forgotten how difficult having a conversation with you can be.
And I thought you might be pleased to see me again.
A new 6-part drama for BBC Radio 4. The Once and Future King. Next Sunday afternoon at 3... and then on the Radio 4 website for 30 days.